You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Are you ready?
Amen.
Okay. Turn with me. Just turn there and hold your place. And hold your horses, as we say in Texas. That's so good to be back in Texas. You know, people up north, they talk funny. Holy buckets. For sure, don't you know? You know, I mean, it's something different up north, you know. And when you say y'all and you're fixing to do something, they go, you know. You pull up at Starbucks drive-thru, which you know I do that a lot. And you place your order and they go, you're not from around here, are you?
Yeah.
And I'll say, well, what was your first indication? They said, well, your accent for one. Anyway. 2 Chronicles 20, found it? Did I not tell you where to turn to? Okay, see, you need me, don't you? Okay. I forgot I didn't tell you. Y'all hang in here with me. I've been to a lot of meetings and two conferences and another church I preached in, and of course the rehearsal and the wedding and flying and, you know, and driving all over the state of Michigan. And we're just glad to be here. We got in late yesterday afternoon, and I'm still a little, you know, just not jet lag, but I just, you know, feeling wise, I'm just a little tired. If I say things just off, just laugh. And if I say something that's supposed to be funny and it's not, laugh anyway. Just humor me, if you would. In fact, I had something totally different I was going to minister this morning. I was studying, and in class, we've been teaching on God Wants to Bless You. That's just one of the things that we do all kinds of series. We just happen to be on that today. And I was going through some scriptures, and as I mentioned this scripture, it just, something in my spirit went, now if you never had that happen, you don't know what that is, but just something in my spirit says, I want you to minister on that. I knew it when I said it. In fact, I told everybody, I said, I probably will minister on that. I got a little bump in my spirit. And so I know enough to obey the Holy Ghost and do what God wants to do. It's always better when we do that than we follow our own plan. Amen. So I want to minister along these lines. You know, this is about Jehoshaphat. Great jumping Jehoshaphat. You know, he was a king of the what we call Judah. This is after Israel had been split up. Solomon was the last king of when Israel was united. There were Saul and David and Solomon. And then when Solomon died, the kingdom was divided between his son Rehoboam and another guy called Jeroboam. And Jeroboam got the northern tribes, and it was called Israel. And then Rehoboam got the southern tribe, actually got Judah and Benjamin, and often they're referred to as Judah and then Israel. And when you read in the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles and you read some of the prophets, you'll hear them talking about the king of Israel and then the king of Judah. And that's what that's all about. And so you have a kingdom that's been divided. It's kind of like a church have a split. Are you with me? And you know, you have First Baptist and you have Second Baptist and God bless the Baptists. I just use that as an example. We're pro-church. We love Baptists. So, you know, you have a split, and that's what happened then. And so here is Jehoshaphat. He's like the fourth king of Judah. And, you know, of course, you knew that. These things you already know, I'm sure. You know, Rehoboam, Abijah, and Asa, you know, were the kings right before. I'm just reminding you. And he got into trouble. I mean, here he was. He was surrounded by enemies that had come to take him down, as it were. Enemies in number greater than he was. You ever been there? You know, you've been in a situation where it's just more than you can handle. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's the banks, maybe it's IRS, or maybe it's the doctor's report, or maybe some tragedy in your family, or some crisis that took place. And really, it's just overwhelming. It's just more than you, on your own, individually can handle. The truth be known, there's not a whole lot in this life we can handle on our own, individually. See, the truth is that we do what we do by the grace of God. The truth is that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The truth is that we're strong in the Lord in the power of His might. That's the truth. And what happens when crisis hits or tragedy hits, we kind of wake up to that truth. But that's been the truth all the time. We've been making it every day, even when it's good and the sun is shining, we've been making it because of the Lord. And then when a tragedy hits, we realize we need Him, but He's been with us all that time. He's the one that took us through the good times. I'm always reminded of Peter walking on the water. Why in the world Peter thought that all of a sudden he couldn't walk on that water because the waves were coming and the wind was blowing? I mean, did he think he could walk on flat water? I mean, the storms all of a sudden make it difficult for us. All of a sudden, when the storm hits and the tragedy hits, we get to thinking, oh, no, I can't make it, as if we could have made it even if there was no storm. Every day of our life is because of God we're alive and we're making it. You can't walk on smooth water no more than you can walk on choppy water without the Lord. Okay, so Jehoshaphat is a classic story about that, that when he was overwhelmed with these numbers and these armies, the Moabites and the Ammonites and the children of Mount Seir, and you don't have to remember all those names. But it was an interesting story because the Moabites and the Ammonites actually were people, they were the offspring of Lot. Remember where Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah and came out and a terrible thing happened, you know, his wife was turned to pillar of salt. His daughters actually had children by his daughters, and they're the Moabites and the Ammonites. And it's a terrible story. Of course, he was drunk, and they were drunk. But when the children of Israel came to the land of Canaan, God told them not to kill the Ammonites and the Moabites because they were relatives. They were kin. I mean, you can go back there and read that. It tells them, told them not to do that. And so here they were now, years later, when the Israelites came into the land of Canaan, remember Joshua crossed the Jordan River and he came and he took city by city, Jericho and Ai and all those cities, and they settled in the land of Canaan. When he came across the Moabites and the Ammonites that were there already, God said, don't fight with them and don't make war with them because they're your brethren. And so they obeyed God. And now, centuries later, here's Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and these same people, the descendants of these people, have come against him. Okay. And he's overwhelmed, to say the least. And it says here in the... Everybody ready?
Yes.
Okay. Third verse, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. You ever been afraid?
Yep.
A couple of you have. You ever really... I mean, really, this is okay. It's okay to say you've been afraid. I've been afraid. I've had fear hit me. How about you?
Yes.
Listen, that's okay. But what's not okay sometimes is what we do about it. To have fear hit you is okay. That happens. We're in this life and fear hits us. But we have to realize that God has not given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. But of power, love, and of a sound mind. And when you feel that, don't act on that. If anything, do this. Pray. Seek God. That's what Jehoshaphat did. It says he feared and he set himself to seek the Lord. The NIV, the International Version says he resolved himself. And the New American Standard says he turned his attention. I like that. He turned his attention. You better watch where you got your attention. You better watch where your focus is.
Yeah.
If your focus is on your problem, not on God, you're in for a rough ride. You better buckle up. You're in for a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
But if you'll turn your attention and put your focus on God instead of that problem, you'll start getting help and you'll start getting hope and you'll start getting answers. You'll not go from one battle to the next battle. You'll go from one victory to the next victory. Hallelujah. You'll see this as an opportunity to win and to show the glory of God. Hallelujah. By trusting and believing God. When David saw Goliath, he didn't see just opposition. He saw opportunity. When he saw Goliath and the size of Goliath, and they were all afraid, and all the Israelites were saying, have you seen this man? My goodness, have you seen how big he is? David said, he's so big I can't miss him. Two different perspectives. Amen? And so Jehoshaphat realized he had the wrong perspective and he set himself to seek God. He turned his attention to God. Many times we realize we've got the wrong perspective. Many times in life we're overwhelmed by a situation. That's okay. Just recognize it. Let's repent. Let's turn. Let's get our face in God's face. Amen? Let's get our attention toward Him. Let's start praying and seeking His face. And I'll tell you, you get another perspective altogether. You'll start seeing a way out. You'll start seeing victory. You'll start seeing how you can make it and how you can turn this test into a testimony. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How you can turn this battle into a victory. Glory to God. So he did that. And it says here in the that he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. That's good too. Man, you need to get people praying with you and believing with you and standing with you. You know, don't be so isolated when you're in a tragedy and in a crisis. Don't draw away and get in a closet. Call up your brothers and sisters. Call up the church. Let's get together. Let's beat this thing. Let's win. God wants us to win.
That's right.
He doesn't want us to go under.
That's right.
There's fights. There's battles. There's tragedy. You say, well, I've already lost. Well, that's all right. Rise up again. Just don't make it personal. Everybody fails, but you're not a failure. Amen? Right. Nothing wrong falling. The Bible says a righteous falls seven times, but he rises again.
Amen.
So this is not a message of condemnation. We've all lost and we've got no stones to throw. But God is trying to encourage us with this and show us that there is a way out. Hallelujah. There is hope. There is victory. There is help. Maybe fear has come in, but turn your face. Resolve yourself. Set yourself. Turn your attention to seek God. Amen? And he did, and he cleared a fast. And the fourth verse says, so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody. What a concept. To ask help from the Lord. Well, I wouldn't bother God with that. Well, you'd just go under then. Hello. We'll do what we can to help you. But if you're not going to get to God and ask God for help, you know, he's the one you need to go to. Amen? He's the only one that's got help for us. So it says, Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Man, they had revival prayer meeting. I mean, they got together and started seeking God. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, this moves me every time I read this prayer. I don't know if you're ready. Are you ready for this? I might better just wait on this. This might be just too good for you. You ready for this? You really, really want to go forward with this? I mean, because, okay. And this is what he said. This is what Jehoshaphat said. He says, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Is that not true? Isn't that what we pray and what we call the Lord's Prayer? Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Isn't that what we pray? Doesn't he have all the power? Sure he does. You know he does. You know it. You know what I'm talking about. Amen?
Amen?
And so he's not telling God something God doesn't know. He's stirring himself up. He's reminding himself. Good way to start out. I love that. Because that's, you know, Jesus even told us in what we call the Lord's Prayer to start out saying, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Yes.
You stir yourself up when you begin to talk about God and who he is. All of a sudden you begin to realize he's bigger than this crisis. He's greater than this problem. Hallelujah. He can handle it. Maybe you're having a little trouble, but he's got no trouble with it at all. He's waiting for you to turn it over to him. And if you'll cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you, he'll take care of it for you. Amen? Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that are laden and heavy laden. And I take my yoke upon you. Anyway, Jesus said, come to me, I'll help you. Says you'll find rest for your souls. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. But you got to come. You got to come. See, you got to come to him. He's got help. You are a need. He is supply. You too need to get hooked up. Amen. And that's what Jehoshaphat's doing. He's hooking up with God. And he said all that, and that's kind of, you know, true abstractly, as they say, or theoretically, or conceptually, or use a bunch of big words. I'm being very verbose here. He said, Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Or do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hands there are not power and might so that no one's able to withstand you. But listen to this. This is what makes the difference. Seventh verse. Are you not our God? Wow. I'm telling you, if you never make this personal, it'll never help you. You can read all these stories. You can read all these testimonies and these great happenings that took place about these characters and these events. And even the principles of the Bible, you know. But if you don't make them personal, if God's not your God, John 3:16 won't save anybody except those that believe. John 3:16, we know that. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. But see, there's the key. We got to believe on him. We got to make it personal. Jehoshaphat made it personal. You're not a God. You're not the God. You're our God. You're our God. And of course, personally, my God. And he said in 7th verse, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before the people, your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwelled in it and built your sanctuary in it for your name, saying, Listen closely. He's quoting actually 2 Chronicles 7:14. We often know that if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, repent of their sin, I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That he's quoting that. That's what God told Solomon when he built the temple. That this was a place of deliverance. It was a place of help. It was a place to cry out and repent, and a place of healing, and a place of forgiveness, and a place where victory could come. Listen, we come to church to find out we can make it. You're not going to find this out on the news. You find out you're somebody, you count, God loves you, He's for you, and you can get through this thing, you can rise above this thing, you can have the victory, you can have a good marriage, you can make it, but you're not going to find that out in the world. You're going to find that on the newspaper. You're not going to find that on the news. You have to come to the Word, come to the Scripture, come to church, are you with me, to hear this. In this place, there is healing. In this place, there is forgiveness. In this place, there is help and hope for the hopeless. Hallelujah. And he said, didn't you say, and he's actually quoting that ninth verse, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save.
Praise God.
Yes. Hallelujah, somebody. Didn't you say that, God? I love that. I mean, it's not that we're reminding God. God knows that, and Jehoshaphat knew God knew that. But Jehoshaphat's coming on a legal basis. He's coming on the basis of God's heart and God's character and God's nature and God's essence, the essence of His being. He is a God who helps the needy. He is a God who answers prayer. He is a God who gives victory to those who put their trust in Him. Didn't you say all that, God? Well, here we are. Man, I love it. And now, here are the people. 10th verse, of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are. I kind of like that part because Jehoshaphat's a little upset, you know. And it's kind of sideways accusation. He's saying, God, you know, these guys... You told us not, you know, you told us to leave them alone. Well, here they are. You do remember, Lord, you told us not to, well, they're out there. And just a thought, you know, if you'd let us kill them way back then, they wouldn't be here. You know, just, you know, if you realize it, but, you know, they're here, and they're here because you told us not to, okay, hello. You ever feel that way sometimes? You know, God tells you to be nice and love, and then you're walking around, and you got this, somebody stabbed you in the back. You know, somebody you loved and you forgave, and Lord, you told me to be nice, and look at, well, just keep being nice. We'll get that knife out of there. We'll heal that back up. Hello. It pays to serve God. A couple of you think so. Anyway, that's good. So, y'all following with me? You're tracking with me here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It says, here they are, 11th verse, rewarding us for this by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. I mean, this is the reward they give us for not killing them, Lord. 12th verse, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Oh, hallelujah. There's so many nuggets in here. So many places you can stop and just have a camp meeting. Do you always know what to do? Boy, I sure don't. But I do know this. My eyes are on Him. You know, I often say, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what's going to happen if this took place. What would you do if that took place? Well, I don't know where everything's going to happen. But I know I can trust God. I know I'm going to do that. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to keep my eyes on Him. Because that's my only hope. That's your only hope. Amen. Do you know what to do? Probably not. Are you facing a big trial? Many of you may be here this morning. Many of you may be facing a tragedy in your family. Or maybe it's a financial crisis or emotional crisis or physical crisis. It's just all kinds of different things that happen to us in this life. But the answer is still seeking God. The answer is still putting our eyes on Him. Amen? The answer is still making this personal. This is not just a religious book. He's not just a God. He's our God. Hallelujah. He's not just a shepherd. He's the Lord, my shepherd. Hallelujah. He's not just a Savior. He is my Savior. Come on, this is better preaching. We are amen in here this morning. If he's just a God, if he's just abstractly powerful, creator, healer, all those things, you still hadn't made the connection. He's got to be your God. He's got to be your Father. He's got to be your healer and your forgiver and your shepherd and your Savior. Hallelujah. Woo! He doesn't save for himself. He doesn't heal for himself. He never gets sick. Are you kidding me? He doesn't forgive for himself. He never sins. He forgives us. He heals us. He helps. He doesn't need help. He helps us. He's not up there just gloating in all of his greatness. He is great for us.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo! Man, this is good stuff.
Amen.
Well, our eyes are upon you, he says. I know I'm reading a lot here. Y'all stay with me, but I want to get the context of this. I don't want to leave anything out here. I really don't like to read this much scripture, but can't leave it out. It's just too good. Amen?
Amen.
13th verse. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's so much in this. Are you catching this? They're standing before the Lord. They're waiting up. Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you expecting something from heaven? Are your eyes on him to move mighty? We live in perilous times. I know the Bible says that, that we do live in perilous times. But you know what? We got a great God. We got a great God. Hallelujah. That has saved time and time and time again. And he can just do it again. Hallelujah. Then, 14th verse, the Spirit of the Lord. Aren't you glad the Spirit of the Lord comes? If you'll call, if you'll get your attention on him, if you get your focus on him, you know what will happen? The Spirit of the Lord will come. In Acts 2, it says, and suddenly, I love that, there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. I'll tell you, it may have taken a long time to get here. It may have been building up this problem, but there's a suddenly waiting on you. There is a Spirit of the Lord coming waiting on you. And it's on the other side of you calling. It's on the other side of you focusing in on him. It's on the other side of you getting your attention and your gaze and your eyes on heaven. Hallelujah. And if you do that, the Spirit of the Lord will come. And suddenly, things will turn around. Suddenly, things will change. You say, well, it sure has taken a long time. Yeah, but when it happens, it'll be suddenly. And we'll look at all this as an old tale. It's not to belittle your pain. It's not to belittle the tragedy that you may be going through, the emotions that you may be feeling. We all hurt. I understand that. We all have pain. I understand that. I've hurt myself. I've had pain myself. I've been bitter myself. I've been in fear myself. I've done all those things. But at some point, you know what? We've got to break through it. We've got to call. We've got to get help from God. We've got to call on God. And we've got to get focused here. And we've got to stand our ground. We've got to stay in position. Amen.
Yes.
That's the challenge. It's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. I understand that. It takes a man to serve Jesus. You know that? It takes a real woman to serve Jesus. It really does. It takes someone that really... real men pray. Real men love Jesus. Real men seek his face. Real men depend on him. And real women too. Amen. But if you'll do it, praise God, he'll come through. And you say, well, I don't feel that strong. Well, be strong in the Lord. Call your brother. Call somebody. Are you with me? Join arms with somebody. One to chase 1,000, two to put 10,000 to flight. If any two agree is touching anything, if they ask my Father in heaven, then he'll do it. That's what Jesus said. There's power in agreement. Amen?
Yeah.
And look at all them standing together here. Man, the whole nation got together. How powerful is that? Then the Spirit of the Lord came, 14th verse, upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. I got through that whole thing. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Hallelujah.
I love that. You know, because most of the time we're trying to fight a battle, we ought to be letting God fight. But really, the only fight we fight as Christians is the fight of faith. Whether we're going to believe God or not. We don't even really fight the devil. Did you know you don't fight the devil? He's defeated 2,000 years ago. The Bible says we submit to God and resist the devil. And he flees. Isn't that what it said? I mean, I would love to get the devil right here. Mano y mano. Come on. Get the gloves on and let's just, I mean, I hate the devil. But you know what? He's already been defeated. As we say in East Texas, Jesus whooped him. Whooped him, beat him like a drum. 2,000 years ago, took his teeth out. He's just like a roaring lion. He didn't have any teeth. He had the keys of hell and death. Jesus took those away from him. And he arose with the keys of hell and death. And now you and I, when we die as Christians, we go to heaven. We don't go down to paradise or to Abraham's bosom like Lazarus and many others in the Bible and the saints of old. No. When we die now, we go to heaven because Jesus took away from the devil the keys of hell and death, rose again victorious. So we're not really fighting the devil. It's a fight of faith. Whether we're going to trust God or not. Whether we're going to believe God or not. The devil just wants to hit you in your faith area. He wants to hit you with doubt and unbelief. And doubt the word. Doubt the promises. Doubt God's going to come through. Doubt God's going to help you. Now if you go out there and try to fight him, you're fighting a battle that's not your battle. You just need to get to God. I just need to get to Jesus. We need to have a come to Jesus meeting in this crisis. And you need to roll all this over on him and leave it there. And begin to thank him. Praise him. Praise him for the answer. Praise him for the victory. Amen? Okay. So it says, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. You will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. I love those names. I mean, if it was, you know, in our area, it says you will go out to Elmo and then you'll, you know, and right before, at Frog, right before you get to Elmo. Anyway, he told them where to go. 17 verse says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Or take up your position. Or station yourselves, so the translation says. Boy, and that's in it. You know, in this story, of course, you see a great victory. God moves, and we'll get to that. But I think what we miss in many cases when we read this is the position that Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah had to get in. And most of the time, our biggest problem is we're not in the right position. It's not God. He's where he always is, okay? But we have to get in position. We need to get in a position of faith, a position of calling and trusting, a position of our eyes on him instead of our eyes on the problem. We're in the wrong position. It's like a football game. You have receivers and you have a quarterback, and the quarterback throws the ball, and the receiver, if he's in his right position, receives the ball. And many times you'll have a quarterback that's a great quarterback and throws that ball every time right where it's supposed to be, but because the receiver was not in the right position, he didn't catch the ball, and it goes down the record as an incomplete pass. So that's a little deceptive when you look at stats and you look at a quarterback with some incomplete passes. You have to look at what kind of receivers he had. Dallas Cowboys, we had Troy Aikman. But Troy Aikman had Michael Irvin. Emmitt Smith, are you with me? Come on, there's a team there. There was a team working there, okay? So as good as a quarterback is, his stats really are determined by the receptions, by the people being in the right position. See, God gets a bad rap because we're out of position. I believe he's always throwing those blessings out there where we need them, but we're not where we need to be. Are you with me? And so what happens? God gets a bad rap. God has never missed. We've missed it, but not him. God doesn't miss it. God loves us. Heard this the other day, I thought it was so good. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you.
Amen.
He really does love us. He's for us. He's trying to get us in position. See, that's what this is all about. Let's get where we need to be. I don't know what's going on in the world. I can't control everything going on in the world. But I can control me. I can get me where I should be. And I should be me. I should be in God's face in a good way. I should be praying. I should be seeking Him. I should be trusting Him. Amen? And he says in the 17th verse, "And you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you."
Yes.
Man, position yourselves. Position yourselves. Stand still. In other words, keep standing now. Come on, you got it. You're believing, trusting. Don't back off. Just stay there and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, I'm trusting God. I've stood on His Word. What do I do now? Stand still. Don't move out of that position. Because that position will cause you to see the salvation of God. You know, Ephesians 6 chapter tells us, well, the 10th verse, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." And it says, "Put on the whole armor of God." And it says, "Stand in the evil day," and having done all to stand. Now, once you've done it all, you pray, you sought God, just stand now. A lot of people say, "Well, I'm standing. I'm just standing." "Well, what you standing on?" "Oh, I don't know. I'm just standing." Well, it says, "Having done all, stand." It didn't say, "Having done nothing, stand."
Right.
"Having done all, stand." You've done the Word. You've done what God said to do. You've called on Him. It may not look like it's changing, but stand still. Just stand on that. Stand still on the Word and see the salvation of God.
Yes, that's good.
It will come. It will not linger. Set up a watch. That's what Habakkuk said. He said, "The vision will come. Write the vision, make a plan, so he that reads may run with it. For it will come to pass." Hallelujah. Okay, so, y'all still with me?
Yes.
Okay, hadn't lost you?
No.
All right. 18 verses, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." Hallelujah. Man, that's what we need to be doing, is worshiping God. Amen. "Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to their praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. And so they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper.'" There's a good question for us. Do we believe what God said? Do we really believe the promise? Amen? Do we really believe in the Lord? Do we really believe that standing on His Word, praying and seeking His faith is really going to get us out of this mess? Yes, I do believe that. Hello. And as we believe that, we prosper. So they did that and they stood on that. The 21st verse says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he anointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever.'" Yes. Can you imagine they were just saying it over and over? They went out before the army. They sent the praisers out first because this battle was going to be the Lord's, not theirs. And so we need to put praise out in front of our faith. We need to put worship out in front of us, and that's going to cause the walls to fall down. That's going to cause the enemy to be scattered. "Let God arise and let His enemies be scattered," the Bible says. And so we got to get our focus on Him. We need to worship Him instead of the devil. We need to talk about His great works instead of what the devil's doing. We need to talk about the answer instead of the problem. We need to talk about the power of God instead of the power of sin in this world and what Satan is doing. We need to worship and get praise out in front of us because He inhabits the praises of His people.
Amen.
Woo! So they did that. 22nd verse, "Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." I tell you, the devil's death knell in your life, whatever he's coming against you with, his death knell is you worshiping the Lord for the answer. His death knell is you praising the Lord for His greatness and His power and His promises. They were defeated. I love that. You know, Psalm 67 tells us this. It says, "Let the people praise Thee." There's only seven verses in Psalm 67. It says the fourth, fifth verse right there. It says, "Let the people praise Thee. Yea, let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. No, you didn't get it, I can tell. I told you to help me now. Okay. Let the people praise thee. Yea, let all the people praise thee. Then the earth shall yield her increase.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Get it? That increase, that victory that we're waiting on, is waiting on us.
Yeah.
We're waiting on it. It's waiting on us. To do what? To praise Him. To let all the people praise Thee for His goodness, for His greatness, for His faithfulness, for His love, for His mercy. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. That's what they said. Out in front of all the army. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And the power of God came down. The Spirit of the Lord came and set ambushments in the children of Moab and Ammon, the Mount Seir, children of Mount Seir. And they began to destroy themselves, it says. 23rd verse. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of the Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Children of Israel didn't even do anything. It's kind of like when Jesus comes back. You know, in the 19th chapter of Revelation, the Bible says He comes back on a white horse. And, ooh, hallelujah. And we come back with Him, incidentally, on white horses. You know, flying horses. I think that's why we were raptured 7 years before He comes. You know, the tribulation period and the Revelation, that's another story altogether. But I believe one of the reasons we're raptured because it's going to take about 7 years to learn how to ride a flying horse. Could be we need some training or something. I don't know. But I think it's also fascinating. The Bible says He comes out of heaven. And out of His mouth is the Word of God. And His eyes are a flaming fire. And He comes out of heaven with a sword. And He's got a vesture dipped in blood, the Bible that says, you know, the Word of God. And man, I mean, He's coming out of there with a shout. You know He's coming out of there in a fury. Because all the armies of the Antichrist are set against Jerusalem. This is the battle, the last battle. And He comes out of heaven on that flying, on that horse. The Bible says He sets foot on Mount of Olives and an earthquake takes place for 200 miles. It's split where He puts His foot down on the Mount of Olives. And He fills that crevice or that ravine with the blood of the enemies, of the Antichrist. And He kills them all by Himself. And I guess He just got too far ahead of us. By the time we get here, it's all over. I mean, it's always a fascinating story when you read that in the 19th chapter. We follow Him, the armies of heaven, but He kills them all by Himself. We're just there to watch it happen. We really are. And you know what? If you want to know the truth about all that goes on in life, we're just kind of here to watch God work. We're just kind of here to watch it happen. You can't do any of this without Him. I mean, He uses us. Yes, we do it. Through Christ who strengthens us, no doubt about it. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, no doubt about it. And we do have the victory through Christ, and He always calls us to triumph. And greater is He that's in us than that's in the world. But see, it's Him doing it. And we just got here to watch it. And that's what happened with the children of Israel, children of Judah. It says that the enemies destroyed one another. The 24th, let me finish this up. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Okay. 24th verse says, so when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude and those, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Berakah, which means blessing. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the valley of Berakah until this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. Wow. So what the devil meant for bad, God turned for good. And what looks like a tragedy and life into the world scenario, and usually we kind of do that in our mind when something bad happens. Man, I'll never be the same. I'm ruined. My life's ruined. I'll never get out of this. Well, if you'll trust God, you won't just get out of it. You'll come out better than you went in it.
Yes, that's right.
But there's that little key there. You've got to trust God. Tragedy does not make you better. No, sir. Battles don't make you strong. They do not. Hard times don't make you build character in you. Trusting God does.
Amen.
Trusting God in the hard times. Calling on God in the battle. Putting your faith in the promise of God does make you better and builds character. Because just as many people that came out of tragedy like that, trusting God, believing God, and came out better people, there are just that many or more that did not trust God, did not believe God, that went under and got bitter and actually hate God. Now, we've got to be real here, and we've got to be honest here, because we often hear this. We'll hear preachers say, and I are one. We'll say, well, that tragedy is going to make you a better person. No, it won't. It'll make you miserable. It'll make you worse if you don't trust God.
Yeah.
Now, it affords an opportunity, I believe that. There's no question that the opportunity now is here for you to trust God. But if you don't take the opportunity to trust God, the tragedy itself was not inspired by God, nor sent by God, nor planned by God. It was inspired and planned by the devil to kill you and destroy you, and he is rolling the dice and he is pulling down the lever and hoping it comes up triple nickels. The devil is gambling, hoping you don't pray and you don't believe God, you don't trust God. Because if you do what he meant for bad, God is going to turn for good, because all things do work for good for those that love the Lord. If you love God, you're going to pray and believe God. He's hoping you don't pray and believe God. He's hoping you don't love God enough to believe him and trust him. Because he knows if you do pray when he throws this at you, you do believe God, the devil knows that if you do that, you're actually going to come out better.
Amen.
And walk away with more stuff.
That's good.
Don't lay down. Don't let the devil get you and your kids and your family and your finances and your body and your health and your emotions. Don't you do it. You rise up and believe God and trust God.
Yes.
Vows the Lord's.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Get yourself in faith. Okay, a couple verses we'll quit. We'll move on here. Ooh, man. Man, I'm glad I came today.
Yes.
I needed this.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I actually had another sermon I was going to preach to you. But I decided to just go ahead and give you the one God wanted. Some preachers do that. You know, they actually listen to God. Anyway. So it says here, the last part of the 27th verse, it says, they went back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over the... I thought it was just a little significant little thing here, interesting little point here. It says they returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front. Oh yeah, he's in front now. They win it, okay? You know, before the praisers were out there. Okay. Just a point I noticed here. Okay. 20th verse says, so they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments, hallelujah, and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. This wasn't a Church of Christ. God bless Church of Christ. But just a point. Everybody say God bless Church of Christ. Okay. Okay. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had brought against the enemies of Israel, what he had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. I'm thinking of Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. You won't be still till you know he's God. I can tell you that. You'll be a basket case till you know that. You'll be rattled and coming all to pieces until you know he's God. But if you know he's God, you can be still. You can position yourself. You can set yourself. You can believe the Lord and believe the prophets and trust the Lord and know this, that the battle is the Lord's, not yours. And you can win this deal. I've said it several times. Say it again. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of thing you're facing. But I know somebody bigger than what you're facing. I know somebody that really does care about you and really wants you to win. He really does. But you've got to get in position, see? You've got to get your face in his face. You've got to trust him. You've got to call on him. You've got to look to him. If you'll do that, if you'll cry out to him and you'll stand your ground, and give this over to the Lord and quit trying to fight this thing yourself and realize, you know what? You're just not that good. I'm not that good. None of us are that good. Are you with me? That's okay. It's all right. We have value in God and God loves us, but I need God and you need God. You need God to help you through this thing. You do. And he will. He'll help you. And you can win this thing. And you can come out with more stuff you went in it with.